Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self Storage Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Myers, and this podcast is sponsored by the Self Storage Private Money Summit coming up August 5th through the 7th in Dallas, Texas. We're going to peel back the curtain on how we successfully raise private capital to fund the growth of our portfolio in our new environment, which, as we all know, has benefited our industry greatly. Look, there has never been a better time to invest in self storage, and my team and I have been preparing for the opportunities that this market would provide the seasoned self storage investors, and that time is now. We have amassed a huge war chest of private equity partners since the last recession in order to be prepared for the next one, and you owe it yourself to do the same. If you're ready to go pro and give yourself all the funding you'll need to grow your portfolio, then you need to join me and my team in Dallas August 5th through the 7th for the only private money event focused 100% on self-storage from the team who has amassed over $160 million in assets. Early bird tickets are available right now by going to selfstorageinvesting.com/private money. That's selfstorageinvesting.com/private money to grab your discount tickets before the special promotion goes away and before we sell out. That's selfstorageinvesting.com/private money to get two tickets at the special early bird pricing. And I look forward to seeing you in Dallas. This is the Self Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your self-storage business. I'm your host, Scott Myers, and over the past 16 years, we have acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated over 2 million square feet of self-storage nationwide with the help of my incredible team at selfstorageinvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in self-storage. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers. And when it comes to real estate, most successful investors will tell you that 80% of their time is focused on two things, or at least should be focused on two things. One, finding deals, and two, funding deals. And it's no secret, motivated seller leads are the lifeblood for real estate investors. And when it comes to raising private money, most lenders admit they are more concerned about picking the right investor over the right deal. So how do you stand out in a crowded market? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today with my guest, Max Keller. Max is a real estate investor, best-selling author, and highly sought-after consultant and speaker on the topic of lead generation and marketing for real estate investors. In just a few short years, Max went from being a full-time high school math teacher to flipping over 100 properties. And in 2019, Max found himself on stage with Robert Kiyosaki, who presented him with the Industry Innovator of the Year Award. I can't imagine what that was like, but we'll talk about that in a moment here. Max is still a teacher at heart, and today he is going to share a strategy that's working right now in some of the most competitive real estate markets across the country, which is transforming ordinary investors into the trusted expert in the eyes of sellers and private lenders. Max, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here. I'm a big fan of your podcast, and I don't say that on all of them. So if you saw me on another one, you're like, hey, he didn't say that. Well, there's a reason. But yeah, I really like what you're doing. A lot of my friends have gone through your stuff and really like it. And so I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Well, Max, the feeling is mutual. So it was only a matter of time before we had you on the show as well. And so, you know, as you know, a big part of what we do and what we've chatted about is on the private equity side. And, yep. You know, really talking about your story, which resonates with so many real estate investors, and that's the frustrations and obstacles you face chasing not only motivated seller leads, but it's just something about every investor can relate to. And, you know, so if you would, you know, walk us through your journey going from math teacher to becoming the trusted expert in a pretty lucrative property buying niche.
Yeah, it was great. It was totally unexpected. So I started to do real estate back in 2005, but I was 25. I just got married. I really didn't know what I was doing, and I just kind of couldn't put all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. And so I just went on my, you know, business career. It was kind of boring being stuck in a cubicle. So I became a math teacher and I loved it. Every day was great. I felt like I was making a difference. The problem was, is that, you know, my pay was kind of locked in. So I wanted to make some more income. I said, well, I was thinking about different businesses, and my friend told me that he bought a rent house and he worked for the government. He had to do something, you know, because otherwise it's just locked in and the family's growing and you want to make more income. And so I started looking into real estate summer of 2015, and then just kind of got the bug, really liked it, found a local person to help me and started doing deals, and realized that, because really my plan was to keep teaching and then just get a couple rentals a year, you know, and just do real estate more from the passive side. Then I noticed it's a great way to accelerate, you know, your active income, which is, you know, you're one of your best, you know, wealth builders. So I just decided to go full time. You know, teaching was getting in the way of real estate, and that's what I did. And so I went full time 2016. And, you know, in this amount of time, I've flipped about 120 houses personally. I've done passive investing, and I found a little secret that would have never happened just being candid with your audience. It would have never happened if my market wasn't so challenging. But, you know, in 2017, I was on track to do 30, 40 deals in the single family space, which is a good year. I had a little office, a couple people helping me buy, you know, all the systems, the Costa Rica call centers, you know, all the formula and for sourcing deals in that particular niche. And what I was noticing was I was tracking my marketing spend, and every month the return was getting lower and lower. It was harder to find these deals. And so I was getting pretty frustrated. Maybe some of y'all listening are, you know, frustrated. You haven't found the right deals yet, or maybe it's private money, because those are both important. But for me, what happened was it was actually the best blessing in disguise, because it forced me to innovate and try to find a better niche. I'm all about niches. I know you are. That's my niche was seniors. I found when I went and looked through my deals, I noticed that most of my best deals, which I define as high profit margin, you know, people that like are seeing me as a trusted guy. They're not, you know, fighting with me when I tell them what the comps are in their neighborhood, and just folks I enjoy working with. And seniors met all three of the criteria. So I'm like, okay, I want to go after this niche. How do I reach more of them? So I started learning. I started getting focused on what, you know, where they were and what they're interested in. I mean, that's marketing 101 for anything that you're looking for. And then what I found was, is I was leading with more value, and I was helping these folks not just solve their housing problem, but also, you know, like helping them move somewhere else, connecting them to people, things like that, just adding more value. We'll talk about that on here, how to really build like your authority. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. I'd love to come up here and say, oh, you know, I had this all planned out. But what happened was, is I was buying a house from a motivated seller. The adult children were there, and it's emotional time, you know, selling the family home. And they said, you know, you've helped us out tremendously. We appreciate everything that you've done. You know a lot about this, you know, being a teacher. And that's just sort of my style when I'm working with people, is like, you know, you should write a book about this. This is what the motivated seller's daughter said. And I was like, a book? No, I don't think so. Like, I didn't even really understand what she was saying. You know, I'm dyslexic, and I probably would have gotten voted dead last to read a book, let alone write a book in high school. So, but then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Instead of being the guy who knows a lot about my niche, I could be the guy who wrote the book on my niche. And so all I did was I just wrote down all the questions that I was getting asked over and over again. You know, all the questions if I'm, you know, advocating for these people, like, you know, if I'm their grandson or son, like the questions I would say, hey, mom, you know, you need to ask this, you know, you need to ask this, right? Just all the insider information. See, I felt like instead of just telling people only about my investing opportunity or my disposition, you know, opportunity, that, you know, if I just told people about the options that pointed to me, it looks very self-serving. And so my strategy was like the total opposite. I was like, well, these are all the different ways you can sell your house. I make money on a couple of these particular ones, these other ones I don't, but if that works out best, that's okay. I'll connect you to the right people, because I want it to work out. You know, my reputation is important to me, and I want to help you. That's why I'm here. I like helping people. And so it worked really good. The book took a long time to write, and I didn't realize how much horsepower and velocity I would get from it. And so kind of just to you know, cap this part out, what happened was, is I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to market a book yet. I just printed it out, and I was like, well, this will be my new business card, and start giving it to people. And all of these magical things start happening. I am not kidding. I mean, I've been stopped at airports. It's just been the weirdest thing. It's so unexpected. And it's just like took my marketing back up to where it was even before 2017. So like I kept doing the same marketing stuff, but I put a picture of my book on there at the bottom of the letter. And I'd say, hey, you know, if you're not ready to sell your house, but you know, want to, you know, get a copy of our newest book, you can buy it, which everybody buys books, or you can, you know, reach out, we'll give you a copy for free. And we start getting like three times the phone calls. Those people eventually sold. We just actually got a deal about a month ago from this recording. And it was a lady held on to our book for over 2 years. And it was on her coffee table with all the other autographed books from local real estate investors, which is not that many. And so once I figured this out for deal flow, well, what do I need now? Private money. So we wrote this book, Private Lender Blueprint, and it's the same thing. It's just a how-to guide, and it answers all the questions that our private money lenders, you know, are asking, because they have questions too. And so we wrote this. We're leading with value, and we started giving it out the same way. And we do some kind of ninja stuff. I mean, if we have time, we'll talk about it. But we start doing the same thing, which is just, you know, how to analyze a deal, how to determine your interest rates. I'm just going through the table of contents right now. How to evaluate the borrower. I mean, these are all, you know, we give them the interview questionnaires that they should ask us and other people, because we really want two things to happen when we're educating our market. Number one is we want them to know that we're serious about our business. A book or education can be videos, whatever you want to do, but that signals that you're just a little more serious about your business, just like your podcast. I mean, you're a serious guy and you have a great business, and you know, you want to get the word out and help these people. The other thing is, like, these folks are going to figure out all their different options anyway. So why not you be the foundational source for as much of that information as possible, make it as simple as possible for them to receive it. You know, what's cool about the book is private lenders know other private lenders. And so they pass the book around to each other. It's like almost a cardinal sin to throw the book away. So there's all these different benefits to it. But when they see me on the front and my name here and my info on the back, I'm the authority on this subject. So when I'm not the only investor that's talking to a private money lender about opportunities. And so when they're evaluating who it is, you know, this can be a tiebreaker. The other thing is, I don't want folks to get wrapped up with the wrong person. One, because I want them to work with me, but two, I don't want them to get hurt. And, you know, not everybody has the same skills or character. And it's really hard to determine that if you're brand new into this industry. So that's sort of like, you know, how the mechanism works. And it's been a really, really fun way to market for our business. And the feedback and reception has been super positive.
Well, on the private money side, first of all, Max, congratulations. You know, that is a Herculean task to get two books, one book out, let alone two books, just to put all assemble everything, you know, doing the research and getting it out. And then the marketing side of it is also, you know, equally as laborious as writing the book itself. So, congratulations on both of them. And one thing I would add to this, one caveat that I'm sure you know, but I want to point out to the other folks is that are listening, is that, you know, when you do write that book, yes, that it puts you up in a different, you know, arena, sometimes on a pedestal, if there's nobody else that's writing on the topic. But more than anything, it sets you out there in a place where, if you're addressing in the fashion that you've done it, in the questions that you are posing to the reader, to say, hey, these are the things that you need to ask about syndicators and folks like me that are private, that are taking this money, raising private equity, and then applying it to real estate. If you give them the questions and the hard questions that they should ask, all of a sudden, you become the guy to know, like, and trust, because you built that with them. And if you've addressed all those for them, then they assume that you've been through that, and then you've got answers to those because they're in your book. You have answered them, and you show them exactly why and the answers to those questions and how you've incorporated each and every one of those into your business. So I'd say that that's the third, and for us, probably the biggest benefit. We have a book that is coming out on the mistakes that people make, and one of them is going to be on the private equity side. But we write articles and we have videos doing the exact same thing. And all that does is just, you know, it breaks down that barrier, those walls, so that it does build up that trust and put you in a little different light. So tell me a little bit about that and how you've used that on that end to, I guess, bridge that gap and build that relationship with folks before you've even met them.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's kind of cool. The book is, I call it my best salesperson, because I don't have to pay a commission to my book. It always gets the message right. And they're very patient. You know, the books get passed around. So I'll give my book out to somebody. I'll speak to a group of, potential private money investors all at once. You know, they're sitting down, I'm standing up, I'm the authority on the subject. You know, they're receiving the message. So from a positioning standpoint, other than going to medical school for 12 years, I don't know a faster way to move up, you know, in status, perceived status in the hierarchy. with, you know, I'm speaking to a room full of surgeons, and the only reason is because maybe a couple, but one, my desire, two, I actually am doing deals. And then three is, you know, I have the book. The book really opened up doors that I never expected. And so we're up to 5 books now. We just did one for Note Investing. We did one for Gene Guarino. We just did his new book, and he licenses it out to his students. That was really unexpected. So I wrote the book for me just so I could give it to people, because, you know, I'm having these conversations for like 4 hours, and most of the questions, they could just, you know, read the book and answer them. But the benefit is that, you know, these people are pre-qualified by the time I talk to them. You know, they've pre-qualified, or they've qualified me too. And they're like very ready to and comfortable to work with me. So it has a lot of leverage. You know, people talk about technology leverage, but, you know, books are old school, but they work and people still buy them and consume them. And what also is cool is, like, you know, videos and digital content and all the stuff that everybody talks about that's good. It is good, but here's the problem. When somebody gets your video, they get busy, they bookmark it, they try to go back and watch it, but they forget about it, something happens, and they don't consume it. And they only receive, you only receive a benefit as the business owner if they consume it. You know, everybody, a lot of people are really excited about ebooks. Ebooks are good. The only thing is that they have a lower perceived value than a physical book, just in the price anchoring in the customer's mind. And also, you know, you only receive a business's or benefit as the business owner if they consume it. But with a physical book, that's not the case, because it's literally a physical anchor in their home. You know, we used to send out bandit signs and, you know, a lot of direct mail, but, you know, people ignore those or they throw them away. But with the book, once it's on their coffee table, it usually stays there until they're ready to do something. So those are some of the benefits, but I never plan on letting anybody else use the books. And then What happened was, my friends in different masterminds were like, hey, you know, you're not using your book in Florida. You're not using your book in California. Can we use it? You know, like, we like it, you know, investors are good at copying what works. And so, so I figured out a licensing system, and then we change it and create, keep about 95% of it the same, because it's the same questions that people all over the country ask. And then we let people personalize it and customize it so that they can offer it to their, you know, potential private equity partners, and just lead with more value. So that's turned into a whole another business, which I never expected, but I guess it's just important to just keep your options open.
So Max, let's touch on that for a minute. So you wrote the book to get your name out there, knowing that it brings authority, and We're all about influencing, especially when it comes to raising private equity. Talk a little bit about maybe some of the areas, some of the other maybe ancillary, tertiary benefits that came about from writing the book that you hadn't foreseen, that once it got out there, it was just like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. You know, what were some of those other ahas or other fringe benefits?
Yes. Yeah. The first one was, I didn't realize how many people would call us and want a copy of it. And that everybody who called darn near wanted to give us money for it. And they felt really weird if they didn't pay us for it, because they're so used to paying for a book. And it's like, you know, I can get these printed for like $5. And I used to do a 7-touch yellow letter campaigns for, you know, deal flow. I've had campaigns to private money investors and different lists. And it's like, you know, I'm spending way more than, I'm spending $1 a touch, you know, so I'm spending $7 for 7-touch campaign, and people are throwing them in the trash. If I can give somebody a $5 book, they keep it forever. And they see me not as a, it's cool. It's sort of been the transition from annoying pest to welcome guest. That's what Dan Kennedy talks about. And that's really the difference. It's like, you know, the salespeople are in the junk mail. Right. And people are getting stuff and they don't want it. They're getting 10 letters a day from all these folks, you know, private equity partners. You know, if you're reaching out to them, they're not the only people. They're getting reached out to by everybody. You know what I mean? So what's cool is that it's been an amazing way to separate from the pack. Offering them some value up front in the relationship is good. One, the unexpected benefit was we used to have a problem with folks. They would, start building a relationship, and then something would change and they wouldn't feel comfortable telling us. So they kind of wouldn't answer, you know, for a little while, just kind of ghost us. And what we found is that people who consume our book, that never happens. Like we, what we do is we give people the book for free and we go, but there's a catch. And they are, because they're expecting that anyways, probably. And I just say, here's the catch. I'll give you this book for free if you do two things. One, you promise to read it, because it doesn't do any good if you don't read it. And they're like, oh yes, I promise. And I'm like, okay. And then the second one is once you're done reading it, I want to get your feedback and your opinions, because your feedback and opinions help us, you know, make our local programs even better. And that's actually more important than anything you could pay me for the book. So how long will it take you to finish the book? 2 weeks. Okay. We're both busy people. Put this on the calendar and we'll follow up. And so that's been huge because now these people, it's just annoying pests to welcome guests. Now they're excited. They have all these ahas and those. It took the focus off of the deal and it put it on them, number one, not my deals, but them and their interests. And then number two, it's just about the education. And it's like kind of a take it or leave it approach. You know, I tell people the best benefit that you could get out of my book is to identify that you don't want to invest in real estate. Find that out now. You know, don't wait until you're halfway through the deal and you're, you know, and it's all quagmire. So, but most of them, you know, it's a total opposite, of course. So I'm drawing people in, I'm pushing them away, the people I don't want to work with. And then the other thing that was really unexpected is speaking at places. So I started getting some phone calls from people. I had no idea how they got my book. They said, hey, we got a copy of your book. Can you come and speak to us? And, you know, do a presentation. I spoke to my county's probate attorney association. So, I mean, that's deal flow and it's private lenders, you know, and there's 40 of them in the room. So that has a lot of leverage. So instead of doing these one-on-one only meetings, I can be in a more authoritative positioning and speak to 40 people at once. And then now did all 40 of the probate attorneys maul me afterwards and say, oh, I want to give you all my money and do, and, you know, send you all these deals? No, but you know, they all have my book on their desk, and about four or five of them came up and they were really excited about what we were doing. And we've built some really good relationships. So it's been, there's been a lot of benefits, but those are some of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
So let's talk about the beginning investor, Max. Somebody realizes when they see all the benefits of this, not only the obvious, but the ones that you just touched on as well. I'm a beginner investor. I don't necessarily have the track record, the history, the resume. You know, what makes me think that I can write a book and who would read it? You know, when is the time to do that, and who has time to do it? You know, so all the things that you know, all the reasons or excuses why people can't or won't write a book in the beginning, you know, speak to that, you know, and were you at that place, or what would you say to somebody who was thinking that, maybe 5-10 years from now, once I'm seasoned, you know, how would you answer that?
Yeah. You know, usually the attitude of waiting is the reason that you're in whatever situation that you're currently in. So we want to run towards whatever our fears are, or what we're worried about, not away from. One of the things that we focus on is some people get, like they think of the word of like authority or expert and they get a little freaked out. They get like imposter syndrome. You know, they're like, well, I haven't done as many deals as Robert Kiyosaki, so I can't write a book. And so here's like our requirement. Number one is, you know, obviously being an ethical person that truly does want to help people, not just grow their business. So if that's you, that's like check. And then the second one is it's not so much about knowing more than everybody else on planet Earth. Like, you know, Dave Ramsey, he's got a pretty popular personal finance, you know, show. But I bet you if you asked him, hey, Dave, do you know more about personal finance than anybody else on the planet Earth? He would say no. Okay. And but that's not what makes him an expert. What makes him an expert is number one, putting himself out there for people who have questions to get them answered. And then I think of it more as your positioning as an educator, not so much just as an expert. You know, it's not like you're trying to become a celebrity to feed your ego, even though there is a lot of celebrity powers around being an author that just happen naturally. It's more about just being an advocate or an educator for whoever your ideal prospect is, whether it's a you know, somebody private equity, whatever niche you're in, it doesn't really matter. It's just about focusing on that. So if you're experienced it's obviously a no-brainer because your time is very busy. So if you can get into some licensed content, there's advantages to that. It's a lot faster. You can get your book in less than 30 days, just an hour or two of your time. It's a no-brainer because you already have people that you're working with that are not choosing you. You could instantly turn those into yeses. For somebody who's new, the benefit's huge because you don't have as much credibility. So positioning as an educator, what I've noticed is that when I go out and educate people, they don't ask me about my resume. They don't ask about all my history because I guess they just kind of assume that I already know everything or I have the perfect background. And that's been really interesting and something that's been real unexpected. But newer people need it even more because they don't have as much credibility. And what we do when people customize our books, if they're new, is we tell them, well, yeah, you may not have all this real estate experience, but you probably have wins from other places you've been in. And so just speak to that, speak to what's in your heart, and then just educate and help people. And if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And it has nothing to do with how many deals you have. It's about just your character. And I would say like your intentions. You know, people can sense what they are. And if you're just, if you're going to the self-directed IRA meetings and you just go up there and just say, hey, I've got deals. And if you got money, give me your deals. It's so selfish, you know. Instead, it's like, hey, I wrote this new book on how to invest in real estate, 5 biggest mistakes you want to avoid. I'm going to put, 20 copies in people's hands, just first come, first serve. So if you'd like an autographed copy, I'd love to give you one and help you avoid, you know, a big mistake. Nothing would make me happier. People can feel when you're being straight up. Mm-hmm. It's about authenticity. And so if you're authentic, it doesn't really matter how much experience you have, as long as you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So by now, Max, some of these folks have picked up on the fact that you help people to get into the book business without actually getting into 100% of the work behind getting into the book business, book writing business. So talk a little bit about that. We know it's time consuming. This is something that somebody would put off. They know it's important. So you're a helper at heart, which is why you're on this show. So talk a little bit about that process. If somebody comes to you and this is a path that they want to take, how do you help folks to get to that place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we limit the number of people that are in our program. We just want to keep it exclusive. And so people apply to be in the program and then we look at their application. We jump on a call with me or somebody on my team and we review it. We kind of talk about the mechanics and if it makes sense or not. And then if it does, they'll just pretty easy. They just sign up. We send them, everything's automated. We have the system and process really down. You know, there's a bunch of people that are well-known that, you know, that have licensed our books, but you wouldn't even know it because it's their name on it. And we've customized it and changed it and put a custom cover on it. But yeah, the investor just who comes to us, they just invest about 1 to 2 hours of their time submitting the general information. Then we copy, edit it. We do all the hard work and the publishing. And then we send them a proof within about 7 to 10 days and then digital. And then they approve it. We send them a physical proof. And once they give us a thumbs up, we mail them some books for their like starter package. And so it's pretty simple for them. It's just about an hour or two of their time. And in less than 30 days, you know, they have a new business card with their face on it and, you know, all their contact information in it. And they just start building their business that way and add it on to what they're already doing and open up some new channels.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say, folks, doubling down on a point that Max made earlier, even if you're new and you feel as if you don't have a whole lot to share, you know, you're curating information and sending it back to folks and taking the time to do so where they may not have the time to do so. And I would also strongly urge that, you know, look at yourself in the way that you consume information. You most likely you have purchased information from somebody because when you got to whether subconsciously or consciously, you saw on their site that they had written a book. So if you don't think that that does make a difference, go back and look at your own buying decisions and the folks that you follow and gravitate towards. And having that physical book, as Max said, anybody can put up some videos. And yes, people spend a lot of time and a lot of money and equipment, and it does take time scripting some videos and sending them out, whatever those posts look like. But that is a completely different category when you take the time to write a book and set aside time to do that. So can't stress that enough. All right. Well, Max, as we wind down our time here together, what have I missed? What are some of the questions that I forgot to ask you before we wrap up here that may be on the minds of the folks that are listening right now?
You ask pretty good questions. You know, we have folks ask about, you know, how many people can be in our book program. Like I said, we limit it based on a metropolitan statistical area, and about 70% of them, we only allow one person. It's just first come, first serve. Sometimes folks are a little bit like, there's two parts. One is like, you know, getting a book. And then they're, once we walk through what that looks like, they're like, oh, okay, this is way easier. I'm doing that. For folks that want to write their own book, I have a new book that's out, saying the word book a lot today. And I'll give you the link at the bottom, or we'll share it later, of how to get a copy of that. So there, you can kind of go DIY and you can do it yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you kind of know what is involved, and you know, you can make that sort of commitment, or you can plug into some licensed content, whether it's ours or somebody else's. There's nobody else that really does what we do in real estate investing, but maybe there will be someday, and you can check them out too. That's all good. But it just depends on where you're at. But people ask us, you know, just like, how do they use it? How do they get the most horsepower? And this is sort of why I created it. So I have a lot of friends who have books, but they're either like, they paid $5,000 to be in one chapter of a book, and they talk about a time that they fell down a well and overcome the struggle. But here's the deal, like, private equity partners, sellers, like, they don't really care about you as much as you think. And so what's the secret sauce of this book is that, yeah, my face is on it, but it's 99% about stuff that private equity partners care about. It's about 1% of on me. And so that's the big difference. And so people are like, well, how do I use it? How do I market it? So we have a full course that we created, and then we do like a weekly call, and we teach people how to actually attach it to what they're already doing, and then some new things they've never thought of. Because I have friends who did these books, they pay $5,000 and they just be sitting in their office. You know these people. And I'm like, well, what's that over there? And they're like, oh, well, that's that book I did, because I always wanted to have a book, and everybody said I had to get a book. So I did this one, and I gave it to everybody at Christmas. And now 3 years later, they're all just sitting here. And I actually saw this model work really good when I was in college. I wanted to be a stockbroker. This was in the late 90s. And but stockbrokers were starting to kind of fade out, and it was financial advisors. And so I noticed that a lot of, they're under a lot of licensing rules. You know, they can't just do whatever they want. And I noticed in my market, I was in Austin, Texas, going to college. And I noticed that, you know, these folks were writing a book, and they were leading with the book and all their advertising. And they were just talking about the education and adding more value. And I was like, that's a pretty good idea. And so it just kind of stuck with me, you know, and now it's like, well, let's do the same thing for our ideal prospects. And so that's kind of what we created. And those are some of the, you know, ways that it works, but really the results are what people want. And what people want is they just, they want to work with people that are qualified. They don't want to waste time talking to people that aren't the right potential investors. They don't want to have to say the same thing over and over again. They want people who already know what's going on, because the educator investor is just way better financial partner. And then three is that they want to get referrals to other people too. You know, it takes time and money to get new people in your pipeline. And we found that the book has been the fastest way to achieve all three of those goals. And it's been the fastest way to build instant credibility. You know, like you can build know, like, and trust by talking to people and getting to know them, but it takes time. Like, I mean, think about your spouse. Like, you didn't just probably marry them on the first date, you know, but it, so that's kind of, but the book, I've never seen anything in my life where I'll show up somewhere, I'll give everybody a copy, and then at the end of 60 minutes, everybody wants to work with me. I've never seen anything work that fast before. So we lead every business and every funnel with a book. Once you get into it and figure it out, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, perfect, Max. And that we've seen it happen. It happens time and time again. So folks, if you are have been holding off and hesitating, waiting, procrastinating, now is the time. So Max, if you would, what is the best way for people to get in touch with you, and share that link if you would? I will also put that in the show notes. But for those that are listening right now, what is that? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we recently wrote the Real Estate Investors Book Writing Checklist. So whether you're one thinking about writing a book or an ebook, or you just want your social media to convert better, you can, we sell the book, obviously, like everybody does for books. But for while this link is up, I'm going to offer a limited number to your audience. So all that they have to do to take advantage of that offer while it's up is just go to dealschasingyou.com /Meyers, MEYERS. And so just go to dealschasingyou.com/Meyers. You can download a free copy of the book. And then we have some different videos and free content on our website that you can peruse and reach out to us if you have any questions. More than happy to answer your questions.
Perfect. Well, Max, I don't think that we've said a book enough times on this podcast. So if you can boil it down to just one, tell us and share with everyone, what is a book that maybe you have, besides yours, that you have gifted most to anyone, or one that you highly recommend that any and every business owner should read?
It's really hard to pick one because I like books. I would say the one I've gifted the most has been The One Thing by Gary Keller. Mm-hmm. It all starts with that. There's sort of like foundational books, and then there's some books that you have to wait till you're more advanced. And I've been on like a book a week pace for like 6 years, and I've reread a lot too, but it kind of depends on what we're studying. But The One Thing, Deep Work by Cal Newport, was my favorite book for like 4 years straight. This book's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then the one that just replaced it, sadly, I'll just cap with this one, is It Takes What It Takes by Trevor Moad. My gosh, I think everybody in a pandemic world, whether it's hard to find deals or it's hard to find deals, whether you're the investor or the private equity person, this book really talks about mindset. And I really underestimated the importance of it. I thought everything was just kind of a mechanical formula. You know, I was a math teacher. It's just the way algebra, that's the way I think. But really understanding your emotions and your mind and how much it affects your success, that book's incredible. So check those three out if you haven't.
Awesome. Now that is a new one. So I'll add it to my stack. I was on about that same pace. I was devouring about a book a week, and that has slowed in recent years. It's been replaced by a few other sources of data and information. I need to get back on it, but I will add that one to the list. And you know, it sounds like it's along the same lines of a path that I've been leading my kids down for several years now, and then kind of revisiting this journey for myself. And that's just self-awareness. And I think, finding out what you're good at, what you're not good at, and being comfortable with it, and then just getting into a groove, and, you know, business becomes so much easier that way, if you are not always looking out at other folks and, looking for the answer somewhere else, because most times you got to trust your gut, gather the data, learn, about the business, your industry, and who you are, and then trust your gut.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Max, any other parting words of wisdom for the folks before we sign off for today?
No, whatever it is that you want to pursue, just educate yourself about it. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you're making the right decision, and just, learn about it, ask great questions, and read good books. That's really the formula. And just, I just found that when I lead with more value and I really try to help the person on the other side of the table, that's probably, and one more thing, it just sort of popped in my mind, so I'll be frank here. The first couple of years of real estate, I didn't have a clue. It was like the Max Keller, Who Wants to Help Max Get Rich show. I was really focused on just me and my deals and my team and scaling up. And the coolest part of the book was when it was just about me and my mission, there wasn't a big line of people. Mm-hmm. But when I wrote the first book, and it's for senior homeowners, mm-hmm. and my mission and my goal changed from just me getting deals easier to trying to get this book out to 1 million senior homeowners and really help them, like my grandma who took care of me. There's so many people out there, they don't have an advocate. They don't have, their family's actually making it harder for them, not easier. It's mm-hmm. like 50% of the time. So when I raised the mission to where it wasn't just about me, it was about helping a lot of people that I never probably will ever meet, that's when the real success started coming in. Mm-hmm. So whatever that looks like for you and what you do, definitely take advantage of that. And then what you said, I read Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules mm-hmm. of Life, and he says, don't compare yourself to other people, compare yourself to you yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that this all kind of happened around the same time. 2017, there was a lot of changes for me. I kind of grew up, and I'm 40 now, and just things just keep leveling up, and it's a difference maker. And so I really, really made some of those changes, and they made, the biggest difference by far. But yeah, it's really about elevating the mission up and just, you know, trying to help as many people as possible.
Great. Max, I appreciate that so much. And once again, I appreciate your time today. It was great to get caught up. And you've written a few books since the last time I saw your face on the cover with some of the folks that we run around in the same circles with. Yeah. So congratulations on your success. And once again, for just taking the time out and sharing with our folks other ways that they can become successful. So with that, Max, I'm looking forward to having you on for round two, and we'll chat once again.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Signing off.
All right. Thanks, Max. Take care. Hey gang, wait, three things before you leave. First, don't forget to subscribe to the Self Storage Podcast and turn on your notifications so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram, and don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit the follow and subscribe button on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us. Take care.